Arbitrary scale for this week.
Well, I've been watching Chernobyl, so how about nuclear power plant meltdowns?
Nuclear power plant. I'm gonna put in what is, of course, a Wikipedia article. The famous list of nuclear disasters and radioactive incidents. Smooth criminal.
Right, so what are we doing? Is it like good or bad? Like, do you want more meltdowns or do you want less meltdowns?
I'm gonna go with that quote from Get Smart. It's hot, it's nuclear hot.
Okay, huh? All right,
So more meltdowns
so you talk about a Chernobyl best, a bikini atoll work. Okay. All right. Even though, well, bikini atoll was just a nuke site, but.
Ranking of nuclear accidents. This might be a better article. Top 10 nuclear accidents.
There we go. There we go. That's what I want. Let's fucking put that in. Slide that.
Okay, sorry, I'm gonna replace the link.
Yeah, so replace that link.
Yes, baby. You
Give
got
me.
the Palomares hydrogen bomb incident.
Oh, Lord. Jesus, that place is fucked up.
We'll save these for the podcast.
Oh,
So.
see. Tend to do this. Oh, this is just straight new disasters in general. Woof.
We'll save them for the podcast.
Woof. Man, there's a lot.
We'll save them because we can go in. I showed you the bullets that we have. Let's go in.
I did
let's
not
figure
know
out how to
that
best
one.
utilize. Hey, this is an educational podcast.
I mean, hold on. Do they have Operation Chrome Dome in here now? Do they have Operation Chrome
You're
Dome?
allowed to pull in your own.
I'm gonna. Yo, they do have one from Operation Chrome Dome on here. Okay.
This literally sounds like a trap artist making a song about getting his dick sucked. Operation Chrome Dome.
No, God, like there's not many people that know about that. I'll explain Operation Chrome Dome
All
in
right.
a you'll hear it. You'll hear
Hello, humans. Welcome to Audio Face, an irreverent podcast about the music nukes and music culture that mostly matters. I'm Dan.
I'm Sean. All right.
And that was a little bit of foreshadowing to the arbitrary scale for this week, but music news and music culture is our thing. This is episode 97. This is very exciting because we are 3 to episode 100, and we are just scheming a little bit in the
schemers.
In the deleted scenes, like permanently deleted, like drill to put into the SD card deleted scenes of Audio Face. What we're going to be doing for episode 100, and it's going to be pretty pretty lit.
Yes.
Yeah.
We're coming in hot.
We have three great albums. Interesting. I'll say great. I was gonna say great.
No, no.
Yeah.
They're great. Like,
I'm
no, I just no. The other two albums, I was listening to them. I was listening to one on the drive home.
The
I
other
go.
two.
I'm like, man, this is a fucking good week. I'm like 2019. Shit, it's just.
2019 is a sleeper year.
Whew.
I was totally not expecting to come into this, but like, wow, we're here. Here we are.
That's a lot of
here
good.
The fuck we are.
And there's a lot of good things coming out too.
Yeah, I try not to spoil things, but we have some pretty positive things to say about these albums. But you know, it's very nuanced because this is the podcast
You
we
know,
do.
Some Chrome Domes.
We have Steve Lacy, member of the internet. We have Lucky Daye, who or Lucky Day. It's the thing. It's an album, kind of like Black with a 6 level R&B kind of thing.
Yeah,
and. We'll be talking
Lotus
about
of
in
Flying.
just a moment, Flying Lotus.
Yes.
The piece de resistance.
Excuse me.
Right, but before that, we have a little bit of news to get to. So, Playboi Carti has a song, and he has been facing another thing that's been happening a lot in 2019.
Leaks.
You know,
nudes are leaking, songs are leaking, you know, the usual.
I'm reading from a Fader article written by Jordan Darville, but it says, photographer Gunnar Stahl said it best. If niggas put the energy they do to leak Cardi music, we'd have the cure to cancer, world hunger, and AIDS by now. So basically, Cardi's music is getting hella leaked.
You know, he does have a point.
These are kind of facts.
Yes.
And so, there's a song that's apparently called Kid Cudi or Pissy Pamper. We don't know because it's like, you know, a leaked song.
It's not even the full song yet.
not only did it leak out, but because of like a loophole in how Spotify works, it ended up being number one on Spotify's viral 50 chart.
Which is hilarious.
So basically, I'm not saying this is what you should do, but here's how it works. Spotify on the desktop actually has a way for you to upload music to the platform. You can't really access it super easily on your phone, but I think there are some ways around it. But usually you think of Spotify as it's only Spotify's library, but you can add stuff from your own desktop to your cloud and then share that as a playlist, I think. So that's how that was able to leak, but I'm sorry, we kind of know your track. Also, I heard it's kind of just mediocre trap, just...
It's not great.
You know.
But in another story, I like shitting on Drake as much as we possibly can.
America loves some shitting on Drake.
And
literally America, because the only team he's rooting for is the only team in the NBA that is not in good old-fashioned U.S. of A.
Well, I mean, because he is not from the U.S. of A.
Nor is he from Jamaica. Anyway.
Polar opposite of Jamaica. He is from Canada. What's Canada's official sport? Ice hockey. What do Jamaicans not have ever seen in their life? Ice.
Kevin Hart says, basically, Kevin Hart was talking about Drake and his very illustrious behavior during the games, the NBA playoffs and finals. And at one point, he was on a show and he said, he had a bone to pick with Drake, saying he wouldn't bet on a series with Drake because he doesn't pay back his money.
I mean, I can see that. I 100% can see that.
Citing a bet they previously had, where basically he only just now got the money back from a bet they had basically last year around this time about the NBA playoffs. So of course he lost that one. He's like, okay, fine, I'll cough up the money a little bit. I mean, to be fair, Drake has had a little bit of a hard time making money in the year 2018. So,
you know, because he's got them child support to pay and everything, but...
Milwaukee Bucks coach is pretty kind of over it. Mike Budenholzer mm-hmm. is really sick of Drake and his courtside antics. especially during a conference call after the Bucks and Raptors were tied 2-2. The coach said... There's certainly no place for fans, or whatever Drake is for the Raptors, on the court. There's boundaries and lines for some reason. Imagine a gig and an athlete on VIP seats, right next to the band, stands up on stage to show off the entire game, knowing cameras are on him, occasionally even massaging the singer. Security and him both allow it. Never seen anything this disrespectful before.
I want almost a little bitch Drake to do this in a hockey game. I just want him to get punched in the face by a couple Russians. I want him to try to do this to Alexander Ovechkin, and him just slip over and give him a right hook and break about 17 teeth.
Yeah, he's lucky this isn't like 2000s NBA.
No, he's lucky. He's lucky Ron Artest changed his name and won't like throw a chair leg at him anymore.
I feel like because I met him, I can't make those jokes anymore, but I was kind of going to go for that angle.
I fucks with him. I love
yes,
him.
But that being said,
you're lucky this isn't early 2000s when you just, like, so you know, break a chair on his neck.
Yeah, this could be a different year in Midwest basketball.
Yes.
And of course, Charles Barkley, who usually I hate, but this time we're...
And who has the world's worst golf swing, but sorry.
Donald Trump's golf swing is literally cheating on 10-year-olds, but Charles Barkley
don't
took aim
at... Don't start me on that shit. Charles Barkley... She makes me mad. Not his policy, nothing else. Cheating, like, come on, dog. Say you shot a 68. I'm like, it's cool.
Later in the podcast, we will be talking about politics. But in the meantime, Charles Barkley also took aim at Drake. And you have to realize, like, I guess for an audio podcast, you're not super into basketball. Mm-hmm. And I'm not even watching basketball.
I don't watch
super
basketball.
Heavily,
I don't think it's a sport.
It's just very obvious how you see Drake just basically doing the equivalent of jumping jacks and cheerleading from the stands, constantly yelling and gallivanting on the sides. It's just annoying. Charles Barkley says, I worry about no Drake. No, but what I would do when being asked if he was would be concerned about Drake's performance, throw the ball out of bounds one time and I'd knock the hell out of Drake.
I mean, I'm down. He needs it. Ever since that video of DeAntvoord talking about Ninja from DeAntvoord talking about his meeting with Drake, Yeah.
Oh, I still haven't gotten the chance to see that, actually.
Ever since then, I'm like, Drake is weird and he's a bitch.
No, I think
He records his own basketball games and plays them back.
Well, I mean, that's usually what basketball players do, is like you watch tape of yourself to get better.
Yeah, but that's if you're a professional basketball player, not a rapper
Okay,
from Canada.
but you can be like a courtside goon with a lot of money, and you and your weekend buddies go ahead and play games. And you know how easy it is to just record yourself? I can't believe I'm defending Jake right now. Let's just move on.
No, you're wrong. You're wrong on
So,
that.
Earthquake was a song from Tyler the Creator's
Which
Igor that
we
came out last week.
loved.
You really especially much
Oh my
enjoyed.
God.
But there are some early versions of it that could have sounded very, very different.
And I'm glad it
I'm
didn't.
really glad it turned out the way it did right now, actually. I think it was a good way for Tyler the Creator to blossom and kind of show that he, I mean, he's done singing stuff before, but Earthquake is just a really big, like, standout moment for him. And it's so early on the album, too, that, like, it's really
It
showing
sets
him what's to come.
it sets a lot of the
It sets the
tone.
tone for sure. But anyways, the original version of Earthquake, he initially wrote the song for Justin Bieber, but he rejected it.
Damn. Fuck you too, Biebs.
I'm so happy that Bieber is so stupid and doesn't understand what good music sounds like.
Seriously,
Thank
what an
God.
idiot. But again, he probably would have ruined it, so.
Yeah. Tyler asked Rihanna to perform the song's hook. That didn't pan out either. And, I absolutely like Rihanna significantly more than I like Justin Bieber, but I feel like Rihanna's style
Didn't not fit.
wouldn't have worked for that song, or maybe even anything on this album personally. But let's not say it would have been bad, but it's, again, that would have been better than Justin Bieber. But he basically the vocals that are on there are the reference vocals, and they just got left in. So Tyler did those vocals himself, and yep.
And it turns out great. So, you know,
Yes.
good call there. Everything happens for a reason.
Yes, and one more thing before we get into an album. YG is giving a percentage of his new album's profits to Nipsey Hussle's kids. We're not reviewing this album for real, just because YG's albums all sound the same, and
Yes.
there's a reason why they all sound the same, is because YG is very iterative, to say the least. Check out the Audio Face Awards for more info on that. But,
You know. Yeah,
and I was also ready to call him to be super performative on this, but YG actually has done a lot of work. He was in Congress this week, actually, with Charlamagne Tha God and a couple other people, with the Congressional Black Caucus, trying to work with them on, like, ways to use legislation to make it so it's easier to invest in communities that are poor so that they can reinvest their own communities and bring wealth in there and bring, commerce and all the good capitalist bullshit and all that stuff. So he actually walks the walk with this. I'm not going to listen to this album ever,
No.
but I will nod my hat to him in that one little way.
No, that's pretty cool. And when I was in LA right now, there's a bunch of posters and stuff of Nipsey Hussle
Oh yeah, of
around that I
course.
saw.
Yeah, I'm so used to driving by them, I'm just like numb to it, but
Yeah.
they are very out there. They were even more for a bit, but anyways, Flying Lotus.
Flamagrow?
Flamagra.
Flamagrow?
Yeah, it is 27 songs long and
Hour and seven.
1 hour and 7 minutes. So we'll talk about the specs.
I mean, it's so Flying Lotus is very experimental. He kind of one of the pioneers of experimental music, if you would.
Bin.
Oh.
No, I let me kind of reword this. Flying Lotus is a pioneer of like 21st century
Yes. Yeah.
experimental trip hop. So like hip hop inspired beats and flows that can kind of be like congruent to hip hop, but also stuff that goes out of that in ways that are kind of just like airy beats that are a little bit chill, but also very much going on because of that experimental nature.
Yeah, I mean, Cosmogramma is like half house, basically.
Yeah.
But anyways, very experimental artist. I've loved him for a decade or so whenever Cosmogramma came out. This is interesting. Dan is right when he said that jazz. It's that funk is back because holy shit, funk is back. And that's kind of the underlying theme of this entire album,
Year.
which in year two, because the other two albums kind of have something as well, which we'll talk about. So, but there's a lot of, I don't want to say preludes, but there's a lot of little songs that are like a minute and 10 seconds
interludes.
Long. Yeah, interludes. There we go. I couldn't think of the word. A lot of interludes in there, but he always does that. But they all stick with the theme of the album.
And they all sort of like...
And the aesthetic everything too.
They do what interludes do best, which is they're short. They kind of give you a little bit of taste to what's to come, mm-hmm. but provide a good bridge between the song before and the song after it.
Yeah, exactly. The song with Anderson .Paak, More... It's fantastic.
Yeah, it's a masterpiece.
It's a very, very good song.
I'm definitely putting on like song of the year contender.
Mm-hmm.
It hurts.
There's a line on Black Balloon's reprise with Denzel Carey that goes hard as fuck, which is, I gotta look exactly what it is because.
And Denzel Curry has an album that's coming out next week, so that should be really good. And I'm really looking forward to that. Denzel Curry's really got, like, he's coming in hot. But while we're kind of talking about, and while you're looking that up, while we're talking about other artists that are on here, you have Thundercat, who's like a mm-hmm. fan favorite. You got Solange, which is fucking phenomenal. Toro y Moi, everyone's favorite fuckboy.
And that song was very good, the Toro y Moi song.
Oh, yeah.
Fucked with it heavy.
David Lynch, who did like this Fire Coming Out of the Monkey's Head style
yep.
song.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, Kyle, Fire is Coming. Mm-hmm. That just turned this like really loud EDM kind of like mix. It's pretty amazing.
No, there's a lot of good stuff. It's all over the place, but he's known for doing that. But it all fits together, and that's his niche. That's the thing he does, is he puts together so many sounds, and you think that it wouldn't mix together into that full album, but it does.
Yeah.
He has a big talent for that, so that's why he's one of my favorite artists. Yeah. Because the last album he did was You're Dead. And it was a bit of a change from a bit of his more electronic experimental stuff where he did a bit more hip-hop beats, a bit more stuff. He had that song with Kendrick Lamar, which got him to be a little bit bigger, I guess you could say. And this one is a bit more hip-hoppy too, but I do not have a problem with that at all.
I think
all.
It's a good mix of Cosmogramma and You're Dead.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, yeah.
Because there's a bit of the songs that... There's no real house song. I mean, there's no Do the Astral Plane or anything like that in here,
right.
But there's...
I think the interludes kind of serve
but
as that.
I was about to say
which
that.
Is
like, Andromeda, that
yeah.
interlude does that, and I love that interlude. I'm like, can you make that like a 4-minute song?
Yeah, and I think that's what interludes do best, because like I think of albums like Mad Villainy, and I think of the best things about that album are that they're just these little beats and interludes that are thrown throughout the album that you wish were full beats and full songs, but nope, you only get those hints, you only get those things. And that ends up inspiring this whole generation of new artists to use those little snippets to make their own beats, because they're that kind of just enticing to work off of. See, I find that really cool. Did you ever find that lyric?
No, and here's something cool that... No, I have it here.
Okay.
There's something cool that Flying Lotus said. He said that Black Balloon's beat is dedicated to Madlib.
Wow.
And Now Again. He said that he tweeted that out, and he said when he was in college, I heard Quaz come on my feet, and it relit my love for sampling and eventually changed my world. Love you, legends.
Quaz being Quasimodo?
Yeah.
Nice.
And so, like, little few lines... it's like Itis. I want to take a bite out of what life is. If the present fuck around and piss off Isis, bury me in blueberry pills, jewels, and Isis.
Wow.
That's when I heard that line. I'm like, and I just pause. I'm like, what?
Denzel Curry.
That's a bar. He's got bars.
Yeah. Also, got to shout out Tierra Whack.
Yeah.
Who's in the song right before that, and it ends up being this kind of. Really slow stream of consciousness beats.
Mm-hmm.
This really fast, witty, catchy kind of back and forth. It's like lyrical jujitsu coming at you. She's really coming into her own, and I like just fucking love it.
It is every single feature in here
is beautiful.
It's beautiful, like, and I haven't had that. I don't think I've ever had that in an album
before.
I could
go on for every single one. Like fucking Little Dragon is just randomly on here.
And it's great.
And it's just like, I don't want to forget about that, but it's amazing. Actually, Virtual with Shabazz Palaces, that's mm-hmm. like, I haven't heard of Shabazz Palaces before, but that's like one of my favorites. I think that is my favorite song on this album.
Really? Skies help, herb parker, word harder, feel like dark roller, roller spark, count cake up on the carpet, your fakeness is remarkable, you made it, but it's smart, you move the target, but razor sharpness, that remarks, Blossom Stunner, study Darwin body time. While we call it, while we all in hand and pour it, it's never knowing, so we told them when we flow it, our lines is open. Yeah, I mean, yeah, actually, Virtual's pretty great. I think mine might be nine, it's either 9 carats or more. Those are the two I like the most. I definitely listen to the most.
Yeah.
9 carats with Tori Ma, more with Anderson .Paak. But all of the features, it's coherent. Every single feature in the album, it keeps going together.
Yeah, also,
and,
every
which
single
is awesome.
Every single feature complements the artist very well.
Exactly.
Which I don't think a lot of features do. A lot of features are just like...
They take it over.
Yeah.
But you can hear each artist's kind of style along with Flying Lotus creating the world that it is. And
yeah.
Jesus Christ, this is great.
It's just like it's a showcase for each artist that comes on to this album. It's a showcase for Flying Lotus and like mm-hmm. every possible sound he's capable of. I mean, he's going to be capable of more because this isn't like the end of his career mm-hmm. or anything. But like all the kinds of sounds you've heard from his career, like the influences, mm-hmm. but just done and evolved in a really fantastic way.
And the end of the album was pretty cool because it had on, if you have the Spotify on your phone and it's the Spotify. You have Spotify on your phone and it has the little pictograms that they play in the background. Mm-hmm. The last two tracks, the first one is Thank You Malcolm, which for Mac Miller, and it just has a little tribute to him, like
yeah.
a little picture of him, a little, what do you call that?
Shrine.
Yeah, shrine, there we go, like a little shrine to him. And then the next one is Hot Oct, which then it just has all of the people that contributed to the album
yeah.
on there, which I thought was pretty cool to have. He's like, okay, these people, all of these features, they did the vocals, and then these people helped me with production assistance and other stuff. And I thought
yeah,
that
it was like
really
credits
cool to have.
And
yeah.
the virtual little thing on Spotify.
Exactly, which I think is awesome, because that is never shown in any work, really, for a lot of music artists. They
yeah.
don't post, okay, hey, these guys helped me a lot with this.
Yeah.
And shout out to them.
And to be fair, most like album like players or like music players mm. allow you to see the credits of an album, so users
right.
can go and do this for yourself. Like, it's a very hidden kind of thing.
Exactly.
Most people don't do that.
Yeah.
This is very in your face, because if you're opening this on like a popular music app, you will see this kind of playing. I'm not sure how it looks like on Apple Music, but why Apple Music? What was your favorite thing about 9 Carats?
I just liked the entire song. I don't know if there's anything specific to it, but it just the beat, maybe if anything particular, but I like the song in general.
To me,
I need to listen to this a few times. I listened to this 1.5 times.
You fucked up.
So
I listened to this like 5 times.
I need
it's
to listen
so
to it more. I honestly did not have time.
There's another really deep song called Debbie is Depressed that sounds
Dude,
like 9 Carats.
That was sad.
And
yeah.
Debbie is Depressed also vaguely sounds like it samples the Wii Shop channel music, which goes super hard.
Wait, really?
You'll have to listen to that again.
I
you'll
have to
go,
like closely.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Dan might have ruined the song.
Well, because when Debbie, you sound depressed. Like,
yeah, the lyrics right. are very, like, extremely deep and savage.
Yeah, which is understatement.
Yeah, the arbitrary scale for this week, as I kind of referenced an incredibly long time ago, was nuclear power plant meltdowns.
So the nuclear power plant meltdowns or nuclear accidents?
Yeah, nuclear incidents.
Incidents.
If you will. I think Wikipedia calls it nuclear disasters and radioactive incidents.
Yes.
And the hotter, the better. So the more nuclear, the better the album.
The more disastrous, the better.
Sean, I don't know what you're going to do here, but I'm just going to say this is fucking Chernobyl, baby.
Oh my God, he's going in.
Going in.
He's going for the... he's going for the King of Kings meltdowns.
Okay, a complaint about this album?
Yeah, pretty much. I want to go, this is Operation Chrome Dome, where, it's a little history. So, first off, Chernobyl. I mean, that's the best one, by far. Like, hands down, killed at least 36,000 people, you know, radiated into half of a country. Like, come on, it's great. Anyways, Operation Chrome Dome, though.
Fucking sounds like a rattlesnake every time you walk anywhere within really 300 does. Miles.
So, during the height of the Cold War, the U.S. had B-52s on alert. 24/7. They're flying with nukes. In the span of about, how long did Operation Chrome Dome last? I think 10 years? 10, 15 years?
Eight years.
They lost 11 nuclear bombs because they just dropped out. There was one that just landed in a farmer's barn.
I remember
there's a thermonuclear bomb outside in my backyard. Why is that there? You know, shh, don't talk about that. They lost two in Spain that they had to clean up and send all of the radioactive dirt back to America because they fucked up. They lost two in Greenland, one they never found. Didn't so there's they? A nuke in the wild. There's a nuke in the wild. Deadass. If any like Ukrainian rebels want to just go nuke them, go scuba dive in Greenland and you'll find one.
Didn't they lose one in North Carolina?
They lost one in North Carolina. They lost one in Yucatan. They lost one in Idaho.
By the way, good on them for getting to Spain.
And then two in Spain. Not just one, two. In the south of Spain. And one of them, the TNT exploded, but luckily it didn't set off the nuclear reaction because you need a timer for that. But all the waste would just irradiated the fuck out of the field. A few square kilometers.
We had a lot of nuclear oopsies back in the day. That being said, this is an inverse scale, so this kind of complete nuclear Charlie Foxtrot is actually a masterpiece.
And that's what I'm saying. It's this disaster of the Operation Chrome is how good this fucking album is. It's losing 11 nukes. Good. I just thought you would like that. Losing 11 nukes.
You know, I like how you dropped the knowledge on this podcast. Now we're going to drop a little bit of the politics we were promising. No, not kidding. Moby is back. I hate to quote Hassan Piker, and I kind of hate this joke, but unfortunately it's really true. Moby's trying hella hard to get me too'd.
It really is.
So, this is another thing from his memoir that it fell apart. I guess it's working because we're talking about his fucking memoir. Where this is also the memoir where we also learn that he sexually assaulted Donald Trump.
That was the funniest fucking thing in the world.
Check back a couple episodes of Audio Things for that. But
probably 5-6 episodes ago.
Basically, Moby was 20 years older than Lana Del Rey.
That's rough. First off, who would want to date Lana Del Rey? Anyways.
And Lana Del Rey had just turned 21. And Moby was trying to basically put the moves on her. Like, invite her
put the
to
moves
her.
On her.
Oh, by the way, there is one thing that apparently Moby claims Lana Del Rey said, and I have a lot of reasons to believe that this may or may not be an embellished part of the story.
But, whoa.
When
5 minutes for embellishment. Go to the box.
There are... Moby says that when When Lana Del Rey went to Moby's new Central Park West apartment that had like 5 different balconies.
Jesus, so extra.
Apparently Del Rey commented, "Floor's in the apartment. Moby, you know you're the man." Moby goes, "Ha, thanks." And Lana Del Rey goes, "No, not like that. You're a rich wasp from Connecticut and you live in a 5-level penthouse. You're the man, as in stick it to the man, as in the person they guillotined in the revolution."
If I was him, I just look at me like, is that a compliment or a threat? Did she want to chop off my head?
Unsure if he'd been insulted. He took it as a compliment and explained he actually grew up on welfare. Fucking Mitt Romney movie over here. Okay, anyways, but Lana Del Rey played some music for Moby, and Moby tried to, like, make a move on her, but Lana Del Rey was not interested, and, apparently that's kind of like a weird thing where, like, oh, Moby liked Lana Del Rey's music before she became Lana Del Rey, and then they kind of tried to date, or, like, Moby tried to
date. I had a thing, but, like...
It totally didn't happen. I explained the context of that story because there was a far bigger story about Moby and his memoirs and his sexual escapades to happen this week, because while promoting his memoir, he wrote in his book that he was, like, he started dating Natalie Portman when she was 20 and he was 33.
First off, freedom fighter, Natalie Portman. Let's get it right. She's a true freedom fighter.
In the book, he says that, I took a taxi to Cambridge to meet Natalie. We held hands and wandered around Harvard, kissing under the centuries-old oak trees. At midnight, she brought me into her dorm, where we laid down next to each other on her small bed. After she fell asleep, I carefully extracted myself from her arms and took a taxi back to my hotel. Is that what they called it back then?
Damn.
How
don't you just stay with Manette at the apartment? You're fucking beautiful. Jesus Christ.
Okay, so first of all, if you're 20 and 33, there's a little bit of a suspicion there. But Natalie Portman fired back, and when she was asked for her version of events, she said, "I was surprised to hear that he characterized the very short time that I knew him as dating between my because my recollection is much older. Yeah, because my recollection is a much older man being creepy with me when I had just graduated high school. He said I was 20. I definitely wasn't. I was a teenager. I had just turned 18. There was no fact checking from him or his publisher." It almost feels deliberate. That he used this story to sell his book is very disturbing to me. It wasn't the case. There are many factual errors and inventions. I would have liked him or his publisher to reach out and fact check. I was a fan and went to one of his shows when I had graduated. When we met after the show, he said, "Let's be friends." He was on tour and I was working, shooting a film, so we only hung out a handful of times before I realized that this was an older man who was interested in me in a way I felt appropriate.
Inappropriate.
Inappropriate, yeah. So, this is the classic, like, I'm just going to paint rose-colored eyes over this and explain this in my way, when in reality the woman saw it in a totally different way, which men do all the time. It's really hilarious. So Moby apologized and said that it was truly inconsiderate of me, and I hate that I might have caused her and her family distress. Moby's such a dazzle.
Yeah. That's just funny as fuck.
Like, to me, the whole thing, because in context with the Lana Del Rey thing, in context with the Trump shit, in context with everything we know about Moby, Moby's just like a weird dude. And like
it. He seems like very socially awkward.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and like most dudes who got like famous too quickly, he was a weird dude and then like did a lot of drugs and alcohol and then was a weird person around people at that time. And like, is maybe going through some atonement or reckoning of that, but in a lot of ways isn't, because his book still seems to be like he's embellishing the facts. I don't believe that Lana Del Rey socialism comment, because, like, not socialism, guillotines, which is, like, unfortunately not closely related enough. But I don't believe that comment, just because we know Lana Del Rey now, and if she really believed any of that shit, then
She wouldn't be making shit music.
Then Billie Eilish would need to be way more edgy, because like Lana Del Rey would be the center.
Right?
Yeah. Anything else? Like, it's hilarious. No, it's just like, did you like Moby at all? Like,
His music's fine. I like it.
Yeah. But like, as a person, he's so annoying. He's almost as bad as... We'll get to it.
Yeah, just that. I know like where he's coming from, being the weird dude. That makes sense, because I know people like that.
Yeah,
unfortunately.
Right.
So, yeah, he just needs to shut up.
I think you can also be the weird dude, not be the creep dude.
Exactly.
Well. Yeah.
When you're that socially awkward, you're trying to figure out that fine line between being a creep and being a weird dude. That makes sense. It's hard to explain. But anyways, this is funny.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
This one is really funny.
Up in San Francisco, of course, or the Bay Area, for KPIX5, there was a dark room at Cal State University East Bay that an audio engineer, the broadcast operations manager actually for KPIX, decided to go in there and restore some synthesizers that were just kind of left in display. Upon restoring the synthesizers and opening up like a module on the synthesizer, he noticed there was a crust of crystal residue on it. He sprayed some cleaner on it, picked at the residue with his finger, tried to dislodge it by scratching it off, but then, you know, went out about his business. 45 minutes later, he started to feel his body tingling a little bit. And that's when Bicycle by the Beatles started playing.
And that's when Lucy in the Sky. That's when Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds started playing. There was fucking LSD on there still.
Yeah, and so it turns. I have friends who have told me this information about LSD. And if you store it in a very dark and cool place,
it makes it better, doesn't it?
It doesn't make it better, but it just preserves it.
Oh, preserves
much better.
It. Okay.
This happens with a lot of drugs. It turns out, just sort of like psychedelics, just like you store them in a cool and dark place and it kind of helps them a little bit. But this is some 50-year-old shit right here.
Yes, because those synthesizers are from the 60s.
Yeah. For the record, the instrument's inventor was a big part of 60s counterculture himself, but his scents were often ended up around this like cult, or like not cult, but this group of people around different LSD advocates.
Mm.
And also the creator of the instrument was a friend of the sound engineer for the Grateful Dead.
That's hilarious.
Who would have probably left a synthesizer like that in the Bay Area.
100%. So, have you not known the Grateful Dead?
That was probably an excellent experience for that broadcast operation.
Dude, he probably was like, why am I... Oh, God. No, the first thing he did, he just looked at his hands and he just see 18 hands. He goes, oh, yes.
No, you'd probably just see them like melting.
Melting. Did I touch Chernobyl?
And now for a new segment I'm going to call Pandering 2020, where politicians try to sound cool by talking about music that they like, but end up sounding really lame.
Oh, no.
So, oh, wait, that is the wrong link.
That's the wrong link. Oh. Claps for Dan, everybody.
Okay. So one of them is New York Mayor de Blasio.
Yes.
And he says that he loves ska. But he said it in this really sarcastic way that...
Does he even know what ska is?
Yeah, I'm not sure. He also said that he loved The Clash.
Okay.
But here's the reason. Yeah. He said that he was he was pressed to ask, okay, what for The Clash do you like? And he said, oh, so many songs from The Clash, and London Calling has many good hits. So it's like a Romney answer of, Radiohead is very good, and their album Pablo Honey has many good tunes.
Yes.
It's just very strange answer from someone who's supposedly really into music. Also, Bill de Blasio is definitely not going to win. What's the point?
Dude, but he should pull out along with Cory Booker.
Bill de Blasio, am I right?
Yes, and Hickenlooper.
And the link is correctly in there, but Beto O'Rourke's old Spotify account had a playlist called Pump Up Songs that featured Juice WRLD and Gunna.
Oh, God.
This was definitely, probably his account, because he had previously made a Spotify playlist for Vice.
That's hilarious.
Just like a punk music playlist for them.
Yeah.
And under the same account, there was a playlist called Pump Up Songs. It only had three songs on it. 1400 999 Freestyle by Trippie Redd and Juice WRLD.
All right.
Kamikaze by Lil Mosey. And Lil Baby and Gunna's wonderful smash hit, Drip Too Hard.
Well, you know, who's not...
Wanna know who's dropped pretty hard the polls?
Oh, that's a good one. I was going to say something else, but I think that would get me bleeped, so I don't want to get bleeped.
It's time for us to talk about music.
Yes, exactly.
This is a podcast about music news and music culture, but let's go talk about the music. Lucky Daye? Lucky D-A-Y-E.
Day?
Daye.
No, just Day.
Whatever.
Daye? Lucky Daye?
I'm going to go Daye, because I just haven't fun with it.
He released Painted, which is 13 songs, 58 minutes long. I've never heard of him before, like, to be honest. No idea who this is.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he's, sort of new?
Or is he? I haven't...
No, yeah, it's his debut album.
Oh, it is his debut album.
Yes.
Fuck, what a debut album. Jesus.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've never heard of him or anything, so when he put that on, I'm like, sure, let's put this on, and wow.
If you think of this album in thirds, he had released two-thirds of it as two separate EPs earlier, which is kind of do as an artist.
Yeah, yeah.
And then the last third of it...
1975 did that, their debut.
Yeah, and then the last third of it is, all new stuff.
Yeah, I like it when an artist who's brand new does that. Because it gets you, it gets you some sort of fan base at the beginning who's been there since day one. And then once you get your full thing together, then more people like us idiots will start listening to it.
I think it's a good way of leveraging how you release music in this era. Zoo kind of did this too in a way, because Zoo doesn't definitely have to do this, but he released part of an album and the rest of an album. Mm-hmm. I think it helps because album releases are kind of like press moments, if you will.
Oh, definitely.
And so you can like kind of stagger out your press moments by doing, here's an EP, here's another EP, while you're kind of growing and building up. So I kind of like the idea. But yes, the album is very good. I think like it has this very funk sound. It kind of verges on rap, but doesn't really quite ever get there.
Yeah, again, where I don't like the genre, but if you could call hip hop R&B, hip hop R&B, this is it. Like, yeah. This is literally hip hop R&B.
Yeah.
And I love it.
Yeah. Like I said, it's kind of like Black with a Six.
Yeah,
that genre, but yeah. Still less trappy.
But way sure. Less trappy. No trap snare.
Yeah, not a lot of trap snare. I think there might be like some playing with it, but the songs are like very. This and the other album we're going to review, it's not like it's funk, but the reason why it's funk is because the bass is very pronounced jazzy exactly. And plucky and pronounced.
And like the drums way, too.
Which, you know, I'm totally here for.
Exactly. You as a bass player. Yeah, it starts off roll some mo and
roll some mo.
Yeah, there's some mo.
Roll some mo.
Mo.
Let's get you speaking Ebonic, Sean.
Mo. No.
No.
I don't do that.
Wow.
Wow. Wow. Wow. No. It was a great starting track, by the way. Great opening track.
Yeah.
It hooks you into the album and it sets up the whole thing. Where from top to bottom, it's pretty good. I like it. Again, I like the cohesion of this album. It sets a theme of chilled hip-hop R&B, but again, now nothing that really felt like a normal rap song, but something to where I like the R&B in it. I really like this album.
Yeah.
Did you listen to his stuff before, or did you just put this up now?
No, I just put this stuff up now. I haven't heard him before this, but I looked before, and it's like, oh yeah, he released... basically, the EPs were called 1 and 2 in Roman numerals.
Okay.
And yeah, it's kind of like 1 was the first third of this album.
Okay.
2 was the second third of the album. And the third third, roughly, is just new shit.
And even though it's an hour long, it didn't feel long.
Oh, not at all. I will say there's, you know, the first album roll, you get a couple of missteps, and I'll kind of let it slide. There are a couple songs where I felt like the adjustment or the like transition was a little too abrupt.
I think I could feel that.
So like in between Concentrate and Karma, you have the Ready for Love interlude, which is really great.
Yes.
While we're on it, Extra is a really banger of a song, and Karma is just...
Karma's delicious.
Ah, yes.
You put this
it's on got out. All that funk, it's got all that like bass in it, it's heavy, it's wonderful. She was cool with the shoes and a note bag. Now she wanna give me to herself a blue day. She won't stop.
Very good song.
Yeah. Once you get to like Real Games and Misunderstood, right around it's a little bit of a weird transition, and it just doesn't quite feel not natural is the wrong word, but it just like feels abrupt.
Abrupt makes sense. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Abrupt. A lot of the songs end very abruptly. There's no smooth transition. The first much of the album is smooth transitions. Every song kind of flows together and it keeps this up. Then that third half it does abrupt a bit, but to me I did not like that.
Yeah, and it's not even well to me it felt like the tone of the album felt like, okay, now we're gonna go into a softer part, but it didn't feel like you were kind of easing into that.
Went straight into it. You're right.
But like the end of the album still like ends pretty well. I think Call is just gonna be a song that I'm just gonna be listening to a lot. It just has this really groovy melody to it. Let's go break a mark, little while, take a vacay. Show you where I live, shagging in the wind. If you wanna ride, hit me anytime. Call, just call on me. Just for some conversation. Come here, tell me what. And yeah, but once you get to the end, Love You Too Much, I love ending an album with like a nice, long ballad kind of thing. And as a finished piece, as a first effort, this is really phenomenal. I'm really looking forward to more from Lucky Day.
This is debating. Which one is worse? I mean, they have this or list, but I'm doing in my brain. Which one was worse? Was it 3 Mile Incident or Fukushima?
Oh, it's funny because I'm actually in between both of those. And I was looking up lyrics to one of my favorite Doom collaborations, which was Nehruvian Doom's Disastrous.
And then you talk about 3 Mile Island on that, right?
No. But it's Then Atrocities Seen Via TV as we keep it heated like Fukushima Daiichi.
Yeah, that's right.
So I'm going to go with Fukushima Daiichi on this.
You go Fukushima.
This is
when a tsunami hits and your entire reactor melts down.
When they go, no, it's fine. Everything's fine. We've got this on lock. It was totally not on lock.
Well, when you got them bores that irradiated.
No, they're still finding issues with the radiation. Like,
I mean, it's going to be...
Of course, yeah, but like the government promised that, oh no, radiation's fine, it's totally fine, we contained it, this is a really smart idea, it's totally fine. Yeah.
Yeah, it was beautiful. Yeah, the radiation's still venting, and they have yet to find a solution. How about make a sarcophagus, dude?
Nuclear power, it's great until it's not.
I mean, I like nuclear power, but...
I mean, like I said, it's great until it's not.
Yeah. Better than clean coal.
Hey, don't fuck around my clean coal now.
No, think about no one fucks around clean coal.
Clean coal.
So this is interesting.
Fuck around Obama with that bullshit. Okay, Jay-Z. It's Blueprint.
But yeah, it's back on Apple Music because you know Tidal. We did do Tidal for 30 days. It's wow, Jesus. Oof. So
speaking of nuclear disasters,
Tidal. Yeah, it'll Tidal too. Yes, but Jay Z too. That's back on Apple Music, which is interesting because the whole Tidal thing of no, you need to use my streaming platform to listen to my music because me.
Yeah, making his music exclusive, his back catalog, most of his back catalog exclusive to the music platform that he had money invested in.
Exactly. Yeah, I think he's now figuring out...
He took the wrong bet in the streaming wars, which is okay. Tidal was like, it seemed to be really good, and it was found on a lot of really good ideas, but it just didn't hold up.
It just did not. Yeah, people did not jump on it.
Yeah, and so now I think
Apple Music and Spotify, they're miles ahead.
Yeah, and so now I think a lot of artists who were early holdouts, Taylor Swift, Radiohead, those types, are now coming on the platform and trying to maybe work on how can we make sure the revenue model is better.
And that's why their music is on now.
Yeah.
I don't know how, is all place?
Well, actually, no, Spotify, it's not on Spotify. Blueprint is not on Spotify right now.
Honestly, I know Radiohead's all on Spotify.
Radiohead all is, I think Taylor Swift, as of last year's Disaster album, is all on Spotify. So yeah, Morrissey. So he was on Fallon, and he was criticized for his support for Far Britain, which was
For Britain, which is the British AfD for my German listeners.
Yeah, they're the British far right, basically racist party.
Yes, the equivalent of the AfD.
They advocate for, among other things, the eradication of Muslims from the UK.
AfD.
When you use the word eradication. You really, those are when the red flags start.
That's when it's like, someone else used that term and you probably shouldn't use that.
Everyone hates references to this person and I think they're overblown. However, if Hitler had someone who made like alternative music for them.
Wow. Jesus.
It would this person would be analogous to the person that Morrissey is claiming to be. I'm gonna stand by that statement.
Which is just so sad because when he was his stuff in the 80s, they were amazing. And then he just drank the Kool-Aid. He saw Ronald Reagan and watched a little too much Fox News.
That might be it. We'll leave it at that. Morrissey responded in a bizarre rambling post on MorrisseyCentral.com/messages from Morrissey titled, "Because This Is Who I Am." The Smiths frontman begins innocently enough with words of thanks from BBC Two, but he starts to berate the media because, you know,
that's what he does.
You say the media's against you and then you announce your Patreon page. I'm sorry they're contorted.
Here's my Patreon page.
And then you're going to, and then you got on the Rubin Report to talk about your ideas. I'm sorry they're I'm going to quote Morrissey now.
Yep.
I'm sorry their contorted interpretation of who and what I am has gone all wrong. These days, most people are afraid to even whisper. The print media write as if someone is coming to get them. The print media is gone.
Like, the print media is super gone.
You're talking about like, the horse carriages are coming to kill us all. We have to be ready for the horse carriages. From there, he issues like a sort of 205 word single sentence call of arms. The march backwards is over and the life has begun again. With voice extended to breaking point, I call for the prosperity of free speech, the eradication of totalitarian control. I call for diversity of opinion. I call for the total abolition of the arbiter. Peace, and above all, I call for civil society. I call for so far a noble end to brutalities. No to Soviet Britain. Prayers not to gods, but to forces. An end to disingenuous media cluelessness, and goes on and on and on and on and on.
Soviet Britain, okay.
Soviet Britain.
You drink Kool-Aid, mate. You drink Kool-Aid. And that's why we're not reviewing his album. And also, the oldest record store in the world, apparently. Spillers Records. They're banning Morrissey's music.
Yeah, they've decided Spillers Records in Wales? Somewhere in Wales. No, it's in Cardiff. Yeah, Cardiff, Wales.
Cardiff is in Wales, mate.
To no longer carry the Smith Singers' music.
Are you still carrying the Smiths then?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
No, it's carrying the Smiths, but just not
his solo work. That's hilarious.
This was established way back in 1894, and it's still Cardiff's like main place to buy concert tickets, apparently.
Oh, that's hilarious. But not Morrissey's.
no Morrissey tickets.
I mean, when you call it Soviet Britain, mate, Theresa May just exited.
And, you know,
don't let the door hit you on the way out.
I have an extremely interesting, maybe not interesting take for long listeners of Audioface for this next story, but Meek Mill accuses a Las Vegas casino of extreme racist behavior after he has denied entry.
I want to hear you talk about this.
He claims that the Cosmopolitan has threatened to arrest him for trespassing. He's basically upset that he wasn't allowed to go into the venue at the Cosmopolitan. Basically, for whatever reason, they said that they didn't want him to trespass. The guard says, if you do not leave the premises immediately, you will be subject to a misdemeanor. This is private property. And at this time, with the information we have, we are refusing to do business with you. We have a right to do that.
Yeah. You do have a right to do that.
Meek Mill's lawyer sent this kind of...
Mr. Pearl.
Yeah, he sent this kind of like extortion-y sounding thing. That said, your hotel's failure to provide a reason for singling out Mr. Williams is incredibly telling. In short, we have learned that the Cosmopolitan maintains a list of African-American recording artists who should be denied access for no other reason than their culture and skin color. Which I totally believe. I bet the Cosmopolitan has a big, like, list that's in laminated plastic that says, list of people of color for which they should not be, who should be denied access for no other reason than their culture and skin color. What? And then it's a list.
No, it's just the lyrics to Uncle Ruckus's song, episode 1 of the Boondocks.
Oh, God. I thought at least in one part of the video that TMZ has, Meek Mill says that he's been to the Cosmopolitan before for like a party for Jay-Z or something like that. In which case, they wouldn't have a list or anything like that, you know? So, like, because they would have let him in at some point before. And it's totally possible that, completely possible that this hotel is actually being a little bit racist or something like that. But again, Meek Mill's not the hill I'm ever going to die on.
Meek Mill's never the hill we're going to die on, so, you know? Something's fishy.
Yeah, just put it out there.
Something's fishy.
And now we have Apollo 21.
Mm-hmm. From Steve Lacy.
Yes.
For 12 songs, 43 minutes long. Sticking with the funk theme, but this time with a fucktonic Telecaster.
Yeah, and Steve Lacy's from the internet, so of course it's going to be super funky.
Yeah, that's true. Starts off with a pretty groovy song, just a short song. The second song is weird. Really weird.
It's a lot going on in the
with
second
Daisy
song.
Because it's like three songs in one song. Yeah. There's like First minute is one song.
It's 9 minutes long.
Yeah, it's a 9 minute long song. It's basically three songs jumbled up into one song. It was strange. Halfway through, I'm like, this is the same song? Oh, yeah. All right.
I'd look into the same thing.
Yeah, too. I'm like, especially the last quarter of the song just went dark and weird.
Yeah.
Like, okay. Kind of fucks with it, but still weird. Playground's a very good song. The third song. I like that.
Basement Jack is even better.
Well, yeah, I was about to say, Playground, Basement Jack, and Guide, I liked a lot. I say make the Telecaster great again, because it is my favorite. It is that and the Starcaster are my two favorite guitars. Audio Phase listeners will know why. And you can very hear it throughout the album, but in a good way. Because the problem with Telecaster is some people make it too twangy, like, because it's... has that country theme to it, but he uses it in a way that makes it jazzy. The only thing I didn't like was in Only If, it's, I don't know, it's purposely out of tune, but it was out of tune enough to where it kind of bothered me, and I'm like, I don't know what's this, how this album's going to be sounding after that. And then Like Me, I liked it, and then Playground, Basement Jago, whoo, here we go. And then the rest of the album, I did thoroughly enjoy. Again, it did get a little weird, but in a good way. And that was the theme of the three albums this week.
Yeah, I felt like with...
Sorry, no, come on, pick up.
With this album, I felt that it didn't carry as much of the energy through the second half as it did through the first half, and the other two albums we reviewed this week did that pretty well.
It's definitely the weaker of the three. I feel like it's more of... This one, it kind of ran out of ideas, in a way, but it's not something that I did not like.
I mean, not quite. But I mean, I just feel like...
I felt like the last couple songs to me... I don't know, they feel forgettable, the last couple songs. Well, the first three quarters of the album, I very much like.
Yeah, I'd say from Only If to Lay Me Down, Keep, and then Hate CD, we falter a little bit. Unless We Trust is a nice, cool thing, but it's almost so short that it's either like a super short song,
yeah.
Or in this like context of an album, probably an interlude.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there, it's okay. Inside, I think, is really strong. And then the outro Freestyle Forever is pretty, like, all right, too. And I think it's, like, a fine ending to the album. But this is, like, we haven't done a lot of drops this year, but this feels most, like, droppy to me.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely. Because of what the internet has been doing and everything, he's busy as hell.
Yeah.
So, I honestly did not expect much from the album, but I got a lot more than what I thought I was getting into. I like those first eight songs a lot, especially Playground, Basement Jack, and Guide. I'll be listening to those for sure. I like the guitar. Keep playing a telly.
Yeah.
Hope it's a telly plus. You better be doing it right.
we do a great music podcast. I enjoyed the albums this week.
Definitely.
A lot.
And I think a lot of these picks will be for the people, because there's a lot out this week that other people will be listening to, but listen to these three albums.
Yeah.
They are all very good. You will enjoy them.
Yeah,
there's something, even if you don't like these genres or this type of music, listen to it. Explore your reaches. I want to go to space.
I did that for you one time where I put the sound clip in. I'm not doing it again.
You did that?
Yeah, for the last episode.
You actually did that?
Yeah.
Oh my god. I need to listen to Audio Phase right now. I can't believe you did that.
Yeah.
I want to go to space. Yeah, it's this week, sleeper week, did not expect it to be this damn good, but this year is very shaping up, because you got three of my favorite bands that are coming out with work this year, too. So 2019 is becoming a 2016, which is scary.
It's so good.
Next thing you know, Johnny Gruner is just going to drop another soundtrack. Back. I'm going to just die.
Next week.
Well, we got two more stories, bitch.
Oh, yeah, you're right. I totally
Cardi B, she canceled a concert due to plastic surgery.
Well,
these are alarming statistics.
So Cardi B recently had liposuction and breast augmentation surgeries. But of course, it's Cardi B who was on tour performing at Coachella while pregnant. So of course, that's not going to stop her from performing.
She's like, come on, bitch, I'm going to go.
I just got my boobs redone. I feel good, but then sometimes I feel like not, you know? She recently told Entertainment Tonight.
I thought you were making fun of her, and then I'm like, I thought this was something she'd say. End quote. I'm like, that is something she said.
Yes, that is actually something she said.
That's kind of wild.
Yeah.
And then we'll always like to end Audio Face on a fun note. A used Kurt Cobain paper pizza plate sells for $23,000.
Syndicate, $23,000.
The price of a pretty nice LX Honda Civic.
It's
an EX.
You definitely get a Civic with leather at this.
Yeah, exactly. That's the Civic that has leather.
EXL
with NAV.
No, NAV is, you're probably pushing the 24 range.
Because
they throw in the Honda Sensing.
Whichever comes with Honda Sensing leathers for $23,000.
They all come Honda Sensing standards. They like the price.
Did they change that now? Oh shit. Yeah.
I'm really looking into cars, in case you haven't been told, because Jank pays me too much money.
Come Acura family. It's a nice family we got.
Anyway, so this pizza was like...
this pizza.
He used the plate to jot down the set list for that evening's Nirvana concert. And the other side of that plate has a very pronounced stain from that pizza in it.
Okay.
But yeah, 22... What was it?
23 grand.
$22,400.
Jesus Christ. Plus tax.
Yeah.
It makes sense because of the set list and everything on it, so...
Okay. I mean, yeah, there's definitely symbolism. It's a nice nifty thing, but...
Kind of cool, like, you could frame it up or something. Like, oh, look, there's a set list that Kurt Cobain wrote.
I would probably keep the pizza side first.
Yeah. Oh, I would.
That's Kurt Cobain. Kurt Cobain had a pizza off of this plate.
Right.
Next...
Didn't he have, like, some... other like garments and stuff that sold for a shit ton of money too?
Yeah, they all do.
Yeah, that's true.
Next week on Audio Face.
Don't we have
The Biggest Loser.
Well, it's the June 1st, right?
No.
Oh, sorry, June 3rd we'll be releasing, but
yes.
So May 29th, May 30th is the release day, or 31st, whatever.
Yes.
The
last day of
May. It's gonna be that's June.
It's gonna be on Fridays, yes. That works. Denzel Curry. Ooh. Who has been dropping some bangers lately. Ooh. Lyrically dense bangers. His album's coming out. Skepta, the British rapper who actually goes really hard. He has an album coming out. And I want to see if we have time. This is kind of on the docket. We've done albums where we go, oh, we're going to be talking about this next week. And then he just kind of mysteriously disappears into the wilderness. But Duckworth, who is on Top Dog.
Yeah.
And very lyrically, like, deep. Like, he's a very interesting kind of figure. He released an album earlier this May that kind of just like fell off our radar because we were doing too many wild cards. But we might have some time to do that next week. Okay. And next week will be like a little bit more of a rap heavy week.
Yeah.
We recommend all
and
the albums.
And the following week, I know the Silverstone pickups are June 7th, correct?
I don't know the dates in front of me because I still need to organize for June.
But I think that's when theirs comes out.
Yeah.
June, all we're going to say.
Listen June. To Audio Face. Subscribe the fuck out of Audio Face because
June's
June
going hard
is
going
to go hard in the paint. We will have our 100th episode in June, in mid-June actually. So it'll be in the midst of all of this.
There will be bleeps.
There will be blood. There will be the Black Keys.
There will be blood. Drainage, Eli, you boy. Drain dry.
Sean can be found on Twitter at SW Suarez. He can be found on Instagram at SW Suarez, assuming he lets you. I can be found on Twitter at Dan from the web.
Wow.
Until I... No, the reason is because I'm, you know, working with Twitter to see if I can, you know...
Are you actually working with Twitter now?
I can be found on Instagram at Dan from the internet.
It took him 8 years.
Audioface.show is the website for us. You can find basically everything we do, including the most recent 3 episodes. We are at AudioFacePod on Twitter and Instagram. We're going to be doing more things on Twitter and Instagram, so get excited about that and follow us on those places. Seriously, subscribe to us because we're going to be talking about a lot of music. Music is very fun to talk about, and... There's going to be some really good music coming on this week.
Music, the divine power. Music that bursts above them all. Yeah. And that was
Did we rate
Kata? Oh shit, we didn't rate that. That's Three Mile Island. That's Three Mile Island.
Yeah.
The other one's Fukushima.
I'm fine. That's Three Mile Island. Yeah.
Which I think is that is not as bad as Fukushima. Because Fukushima, they still haven't put a sarcophagus over that shit. And they're like, why is radiation leaking? Well, you know. Anyways.
Nukes are great until they aren't.
I love me some nukes.
Now this has been Audio Face. We did the plugs already. Just subscribe and we'll talk to you next week.
Bye.
Oh, I'm going to have to get drinks for episode 100.
No, no. Oh, great. Lovely.
I'm thinking of doing like Instagram Live part of it.
That's fine.
And then for No Chill Island, we do that members only.
Yes. Oh, no. Could we have like a members only uncensored? The Boondocks live and uncensored.
No, because I have a career.
No, because we both can't do it. My clients will look at me like, I saw you on. I was looking on the internet and I found this. This is me. Is that you? No, that's your brother. What's your brother's name? Aaron. How old's Aaron? 20. He lives yes my whole life. Are you sure? Yes. Does he also speak German? Unfortunately, yes. Why are you calling him a? Well, that was me. That was him.
It's like love my defense.
Right. All right, I'm ready.
Oh god,
I like this ready. Nuclear disasters. This is fucking great. Nuclear plant meltdown.
We might have done something like this before, but you know we haven't come in this hot before.
Yeah.